Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Caller 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're winning two tickets to see the Capitals Friday, November 29th against the New York Islanders. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/contests. Will you be seeing Alex Ovechkin play in that game? He is week to week at this point. We're awaiting word on just how hurt he is. Scored two more goals last night. He's got 15 through 18 games. He's leading the NHL in scoring. He is surging toward Wayne Gretzky's record, and now he's dealing with looks like a very serious leg injury. The team is saying week to week. But let's get more details and kick off our Beltway Blitz on the ice with the Ovechkin update right now. And to provide that update, we've got Mike Vogel of washcaps.com. So, Vogues, what do we know?
I mean, you just kind of said everything right there, Grant. I mean, he obviously collided with Jack McBain last night about 5 minutes into the third period. And for me, like, when I see him go down like that and he doesn't get up right away, I'm worried kind of immediately. He's not the kind of guy who's ever been, I'm trying to draw a call here, I'm going to lay down and turtle a little bit and see if we can get a power play. He's never been that guy. So when he doesn't get up right away, you know, my spidey senses are up a little bit. It doesn't look good, but then he gets up on his feet and he goes to the bench kind of on his own power. You're a little hopeful at that point. So, I mean, that's kind of where I'm hanging my hope. He didn't have to get helped off. He didn't have to get stretchered off. We know it's a lower leg injury, and he's week to week, and hopefully we learn more tomorrow when the local team doctors have a look at him, and maybe we get a prognosis, a clearer prognosis then.
Yeah, folks, that's where I was going. What's the next step here? Who's got to look at what, and when are we going to know anything?
Yeah, I think, you know, they said he's going to be examined by the team doctors tomorrow. We just landed maybe an hour ago. I just actually got home here in Alexandria a few minutes ago. So, you know, he's hobbling around. He was on crutches, but I think you know, he'll get examined tomorrow, and we'll see what they say at that point, and hopefully the team will illuminate us a little bit on what the maybe a clearer prognosis. I mean, week to week is kind of vague, but it doesn't look to me. I mean, typically we've seen some MCL, ACL type things with our players, and those guys typically don't get up. They don't go off on their own. So I'm hopeful that it's not, you know, but again, it's right now, nobody knows anything. Nobody besides, you know, Ovi and whomever looked at him last night, really.
Mike Vogel, washcaps.com. Let me ask you this, and I understand it's a bit of a tough place, and I apologize in advance for that, as you write for the team site, but I am just curious. I mean, you mentioned vague, like that's what hockey injuries are. Danny and I joked you could shoot somebody in the face and they'd say it's an upper body and we'll see if he comes back next shift.
Yeah.
And I actually think it's ridiculous in 2024 with like people betting on the sport and everything. Having said that,
I'm
just curious about, like, would they announce if it was, like, they're saying week to week. If they knew right now or assumed right now that it was something very serious that could be season ending, would they even announce that? Like, I'm viewing this as optimistic, but I remember being told Tom Wilson had torn his ACL right after that playoff game where he got hurt, and they were still doing the charade before every single game. No Tom Wilson tonight. We'll see tomorrow. And he'd had a torn ACL the whole series.
Well, but yeah, but Tom was actually trying to come back from that, too. My barometer was Connor Brown a couple of years ago tore up his knee. I don't know if it was ACL or MCI. And right away they said, yeah, he's out. He's out for the season. So I think, and that was the case. You know, he wasn't trying to come back. He wasn't going to, oh, I'm going to give it a go and see if I can't fight through this. He was out for the season. And they announced that right away. So that's kind of what I'm hanging my hat on here, Grant, is the fact that they didn't say that right away. But, I mean, I don't know that they don't look at him tomorrow and then say that, right? They want to get him examined by their own doctors. So that happens tomorrow, and then hopefully we learn more. But, again, the fact that they didn't say he's out for the season – week to week, to me, is better than that.
Well, for sure.
And maybe that's a low bar, but that's all we got. Right,
yeah, we're
now
looking for silver linings here. And folks, yeah, not that there's ever a good time for something like this, but this feels especially bad, as he is just, you know, white hot at this point. He's center of the sun and flame. He was on his way to another hat trick last night. Five goals over two games, as this Capitals team cannot stop scoring, even with a slightly sluggish start to be expected. Second night of the back to back, they're scoring at will. It seems like it's a shooting gallery, and now what happens? It just feels like just so devastating.
It's crazy. It's 24 goals in their last four road games, which is nuts. Especially when you think back to last season and how difficult it was for this team to score. And it's not like they're going out and pouring 40 shots on the net either. They're getting 25, 30, and six of them are going
just juicy.
In. And you know, O had scored in five straight periods before he got hurt in the sixth period. You know, it's funny, every one of those games on that trip, they took a 4-2 lead into the third. You know, he's set up for that empty netter in Vegas. He was set up for it again last night. If that injury didn't happen, he probably would have had a chance to bag one later on, or, you know, maybe even another power play. But I was talking with the guys, I was watching the game with last, I don't think I've ever seen a guy score in five straight periods. I don't know that the NHL tracks that kind of stuff, but what he's doing, what we've seen him do here in the first month plus of the season is, it's otherworldly to me. He's the oldest guy to lead the league in goals, and that's applicable to anyone who's scored more than 10 or, you know, 10 or more. Obviously, someone could score a couple on opening night at the age of 40 and say, oh, I'm leading the league. But this is legit. Like, this guy's leading the league a quarter of the way through the season in goals. He's the oldest guy to do it. He's breaking all kinds of records, setting records. I mean, last night he victimizes his 178th different goaltender, ties another NHL record. Every time he turns around, he's rewriting the record book. And now it's, you know, it's all on pause, and we don't know how long it's on pause. So, yeah, it's frustrating. And, yeah, it's really unfortunate, too, because, I mean, we were witnessing history, and he was chasing it.
And he was hunting it. I mean, he was flying.
Walking it down, man.
He was on what's the fastest jet in the military right now? Does anybody know? He was on that.
Yeah, that's not my realm.
Yeah, me either. 900 miles an hour, I'll say. He was flying.
Yeah.
Vokes, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you. And thanks for as much insight as we can get right now. I mean, it's hard to get the info, but that's good intel. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, let's keep the blitz moving. And to discuss the Wizards, our guy Dave Johnson is on the call of Wizards basketball each and every game as part of the radio party. Dave, the Wiz have been struggling to stop people, and this was kind of the one area where we heard that the big emphasis was going to come. Last time out, they gave up 134 to the Knicks now. What do you make of the defensive effort here recently?
Well, you know, I think, and this is going to go throughout the season, there's nights like when Draymond Green talks about how he hasn't seen a Wizards team play this hard in a few years, and you're encouraged, and then there's going to be nights like last night where you're not so encouraged, because we're talking about a young team, and I don't want to make that sound like an excuse, but what's happening is, this is a young team that is, many of these guys, it's the first time ever in their life they've played six games in 9 days or whatever it is. And I'm not saying that's necessarily the reason. I'm just saying you can't get too high or too low based on one game. And to be quite honest, I thought, the Knicks, second of a back-to-back, we have trouble with rebounding. That they're a very good defensive team in so many ways, but part of the defense is also getting the rebound. And there's stats on this about the Wizards being strong contesting shots, but then if to finish the possession, you have to rebound. And that that's going to come. And that's, I even think about Alex Sarr. As we evaluate him, he's doing so many things well defensively, but you know what he's missing? Size and weight, because he's 19 years old. And so that's where he has certainly had a trouble when all of a sudden it's Karl Anthony Towns, for example, that he's matched up with. So, but there's going to be many more physical games. And by the way, Boston's coming to town on Friday, and they're going to have to be equal to the challenge. But quite frankly, the last two games, really, it almost just felt like the Wizards had run out of low gas. And again, they were coming off a five-game road trip with one game in the middle in Detroit, which really felt like a road game.
Well, Dave, you said it, and some people might get mad and call it an excuse. I'm watching two teenagers, a 20-year-old, and then a 21-year-old that comes off the bench gets the six most minutes in Keshawn George. This is what's going to happen. I signed up for it. I'm good. So I understand internally, if Brian Keefe, who was mad last night, that's what I want to ask you about. But folks on the outside, if you're upset about it, I would take this over a veteran team doing the same kind of thing. This is sort of under control. It's like a controlled burn, so to speak. It's valuable to have Coulibaly go through this. That's my own editorial here. But I want to ask you about Brian Keefe, who was ticked off last night. It was kind of, I don't want to say fascinating to watch, but it was interesting. I took note of it. There was a lot of fire there.
Well, and you know what? And just like what I just said, I was not trying to put spin or make it.
No, I know.
It's reality. It's the same thing with Brian Keefe. You can't say, well, but they're only 19, they're only 20, and we'll wait till next year. I mean, we got to go quarter by quarter with this thing. And you know what? Quarter by quarter, sometimes you say, wow, that was a great Wizards quarter. They scored 39. Wow, that was not a great quarter. They gave up 39. So this is kind of the journey we're on. There's going to be some inconsistency, but that's what is consistent. It's Brian Keefe's level of demand for accountability. And that's why you'll see quick timeouts regardless of what the time on the court is. If he sees something that needs to be corrected now, he's going to correct it and stop it, and he'll make changes. He made changes, quite frankly, in the lineup last night that I thought, at times we're sending a message, right? These guys are going to play hard, so I'm going to put them in. For example, we saw Anthony Gill earlier in the game. I thought that was a message to say, look, this is the way you've got to play. And again, this factors in the second of back-to-back. But it's a tough assignment. You've got to be accountable, but can you achieve what you're being asked to be accountable for? And that's a difficult position. But if you don't hold people accountable to that standard, they'll never reach it. They don't grade on a curve in the NBA, and that's why, quite frankly, the Wizards are 2-11. But to your point, this is what we signed up for. We've talked about this, with other people around the league. You get stuck in, quite frankly, a purgatory sometimes in the NBA where you can be between fourth and eighth, but you can't quite get up. So it's about starting over, about developing players, but there's nights it's not going to be very appealing, but that's how they get through it.
Dave, awesome as always, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Good info on the Wiz, on the Blitz. Let's finish things off on the gridiron. Nick Akridge of PFF, Commanders coverage, joins us now. Nick, what do you make of the last couple of performances by Daniels and how much the ribs a factor?
Yeah, I think it's tough to kind of pin it all on the injury. There's certainly some stuff where you can look at some throws and, see like, okay, he's clearly dealing with something. He hasn't missed these throws in the past. But there's also some stuff where, he's just missing some things right now. And, you can kind of chalk that up to, just kind of hitting the rookie wall. We see this sometimes from rookie quarterbacks where, they come out kind of hot. We saw a little bit with C.J. Stroud last year where he came out really hot and started to slow down a little bit for him. We could be seeing the same thing for Jaden right now where he's just missing some stuff. Also, you're playing really two good defenses. Two good defenses that pressured him a lot, made him speed up his process a bit, something he hadn't really had to do too much early on in the year. So I think it's a mix of both, where they're never going to say it, but he is still kind of dealing with some stuff, which caused him to miss some throws. But there's also some stuff that he's just kind of missing right now.
I'm a little bit worried. So confirm my fears or talk me off the ledge here. I'm a little bit worried about the honeymoon period being over with Kingsbury's offense and the fact that maybe they're a weapon or two shy and Terry McLaurin only lines up on the left and kind of the word is out on what to do and how to do it against them, and we're in for a bit of a regression. Am I right or am I crazy?
I think it's a little too soon. I can understand the worry, and I kind of had that same sort of thoughts when I was kind of watching the Philly game live, but there's still some stuff that's open. Like I kind of talked with before about Jaden Daniels, that there's some stuff that's open that, you know, he's just not really hitting right now, that he was just inaccurate on. And I think we're having a completely different conversation about this offense. There's also just a lot of, you know, miscues, just mental mistakes that either from the offensive line, from the wide receivers, all that sort of stuff wrapped up right now. And that's kind of what I think is contributing to the offense kind of being a little bit stagnant right now. But again, you're playing two really good defenses. I think the Eagles had a great plan against them. The Steelers had a great plan. I think if you see them struggle against a really bad Cowboys defense, then I think we can start to kind of have that conversation.
Nick, last one really quick on defense. How much better are things trending in terms of the grading you guys do? It seems like they've really improved a bunch.
Yeah, the secondary, well, specifically Sanders still. He played by far his best game of his career against the Eagles. Locking up A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. So that's kind of started to turn in the right direction. Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvre are still kind of doing their things. I think the biggest concern right now is on that defensive line. It's tough to kind of pin it all on them. They held up really well in the first half, and, you know, they just kind of – they can only hold up for so long last Thursday, and they started to get moved pretty easily. So I would say right now the biggest concern is really that defensive line, either not getting pressure, getting moved in the run game. But I think they have been kind of slowly turning things around, and that's good to see.
Nick, thank you, buddy.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys.
See you, dude.
It's Nick Akridge of PFF joining us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Next on G&D, Commanders starting to get ready for the Cowboys. What would have to happen for this to become a game? And what happens if Washington doesn't get right offensively this week? You're listening to The Fan.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The local footballers are building a foundation of success on and off the field this season. You need a plan for your future as well. The sponsor of our show exclusively is the law firm, Kondorian Murad. They will help you update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family. I sent my parents, my in-laws their way. You should go check them out if you need any of that important stuff done as well. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com. Tell them that we sent you at G&D. And they'll give you a great discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Darius, give me a little game show music, please. We will go around the horn. Everybody gets one guess here. One guess. Danny, I want to know which broadcast team you think has the Lowly Cowboys and your Washington Commanders this weekend.
What do I get to know what channel the game's on?
If you'd like, I could tell you.
Will you tell me?
Fox.
I'm going to go... The Brady team.
That would be a no. It is not the A-team of Burkhart and Brady.
Damn.
On Washington and Dallas.
I just figured Dallas is playing. They always just do that, so I guess I'm wrong.
They just get, even though it's Cooper Rush.
Yeah. And
they
especially because it's Cooper Rush.
A lot of Cooper Rush given the Rico Dowdell. All right, Clary, who's on the call of the Commanders and the Cowboys?
I'm going to guess Joe Davis and Greg Olson.
Yeah. We got a Joe Davis Sunday, ladies and gentlemen. Fired up. Joe Davis on the call. Greg Olson providing analysis. And the OG legend, Pam Oliver, on the sideline. Let's do this thing together.
Are you going to go over and meet Joe Davis?
I might have to.
I'm so jealous.
Now, here's the thing. I don't really have an in into the Joe Davis booth, so it gets a little awkward. Huh. Yeah. Like, when Birdman and Charles Davis were there, I went over and just chilled with them in the booth and dapped them up. Actually, it got a little – I literally – this is kind of weird. I dapped them up at the back end. I'm like, I love you guys. I just thought that was a weird thing to say.
Like, how do we end this?
Well, yeah, so we're, like, talking. They're like, is Wiley going to go? What's going to happen? Blah, blah, blah. We're talking. We're chit-chatting. We're having a good time. And I'm like, all right, I'm now lingering. Like, I'm definitely the guy that, like, is here too long. So I was like, all right, well, we'll see you later. And I'm like, you know, little bro hug Ian Eagle, bro hug Charles Davis. And I was like, I love you guys, man. And then I was like, ooh, that was kind of a lot.
That's wow.
And, but Ian Eagle did say, you, like, I don't remember if he said you too.
You too.
We love you too or something. Or, but he was very nice.
Have a good one, buddy.
But it was just a little aggressive.
Yeah, they let you down,
like,
easy there.
I was like at a 10 and they needed me at like a 6.
Yeah.
Whereas I'd be like, all right, have a good call, guys. It was not that. I was like,
I love you guys.
I was like, I love you guys a lot. I love you guys.
You made me so happy.
So that wasn't as bad as my full embrace with Adam Amin.
Well.
Where does that rank to Darius hugging Adam Amin after meeting him moments
so
before?
So Darius is an Adam Amin's like gigantic bear hug. And then, like, rubbing noses together right after meeting each other.
Yeah, they Eskimoed.
Definitely weirder. But that was Amin, I thought, kind of was the aggressor.
He initiated it. So,
you know. We've gone over that. It's not quite as awkward as the Josh Harris, Troy, Joe Buck handshake.
No.
In terms of awkward. But it sounded like Amin was going for the bro hug. It's like one hand in the middle.
I do.
He's
think that's
wide.
True.
So he presents wide.
Darius went out with two arms.
And Darius goes, oh, I'm going to match his wide. So he's on his way out, like right hand doesn't, maybe gets just past the shoulder for bro hug, and Darius misreads it and goes airplane.
Exactly. And what you got to remember is Darius was butt-sized.
Yeah.
Because.
And I love Darius. I don't know how sized Amin was. Like, he's a nice guy.
No, Amin's the nicest guy.
Yeah.
Like, he was, I mean, he's like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? Like, Amin's the kind of guy, you hang out with him once or you're around him once and you're like, someone's like, oh, you guys have known each other for years? And you're like, not at all. I've met him once.
We met in line for coffee.
Exactly.
And now we're buds.
So he's got that kind of like, everyone's my guy personality.
So do you think that's what it was? Like, he went in for a hug in one hand.
I said to him, this is my producer, Darius. I don't remember if I said anything else.
What, like, it was on the intro?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was at the end.
No, this is full intro.
My God. Introduction, and Darius is landing the plane?
Are you sure about that? It was intro, not exit?
Oh, 100% the intro.
I mean, you would know.
I would know. I was there.
The second most awkward thing I've ever seen a producer do on this show. I'll say that. The first being Ryan pointing at that girl like 11 times during our show at Topgolf.
Wait, it's a football? Doesn't rank above that?
Ooh, I think it's a football's one. It's not a football. If you see us in person, ask us what it was. Wasn't a football.
Definitely was not a football.
It's a football might be number one, actually.
I think it's a football's
one. Okay, then Darius is three.
Ryan pointing at that girl, not once, but 31 times.
So there was this girl.
And then pretending to be like, wait, is it you?
So, yeah, we're at Topgolf. Not Topgolf. It was Rudy's.
Rudy's,
the old Topgolf. But so Rudy's in Kingstown last year. We're doing our show. We did it every Thursday. And there's been this girl who's not there for our show.
No.
She's just waiting for a bay. Mm-hmm. And she's with her boyfriend. So she's with her bay waiting for a bay, I believe, as the kids would say.
Oh, okay.
Oh, thank you. Let me just pick that up there. Yep, that's a point for being hip.
That was good.
So her bay. Thank you. And so they're just sitting there. And how would I say this about this person? She was extremely attractive, I would say.
I'm a little uncomfortable. I would say that if she was acting in a movie, I would notice how good at acting she is.
She's definitely great at acting.
Yeah.
So anyway, so she's sitting there for a while, and Clary is like told us in three different commercial breaks, three different times, like, I know this girl. And we're like, okay. And he's like, I'm friends with her friend, and I play baseball with her cousin, Stuart. And we're like, okay, man.
Okay.
Like, Just say hi to her, you know, or like whatever.
Like, he's like, let me do one more buffalo chicken dip.
Let me eat two more bowls of buffalo chicken dip. Go to the bathroom three times, and then I might say hi to her later. I'm like, no problem. For some reason, what he decided to do is not say anything for an hour and a half while she sat in front of us. And then at one point, and I don't know why, he's sitting next to me, and he does this thing where like they make eye contact.
Yeah.
And he acts like he didn't notice her for the first
time. Like, I just saw you just now. So is that you?
He does like a jarring kind of like drop back and like tilt your head and like cockeyed. And you go, wait, wait. And he like points at her and he's like, you, is that you, Becca? Like, is that you? But instead of just doing the point, like, you know, squinty eyes, kind of tilted head, like, I know you from somewhere. He starts doing two double guns.
He double gunned.
And shooting her like. You, pew, 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 pew. He does like pew, eight pew. Times in a row. He's just like, do I, just back and forth.
He's just Doc Holliday at the OK Corral, man.
Watching me on YouTube, this other guy's like, you, is that you? Are you sure? Is it? And he just kept doing it. Yeah. And finally, I'm like putting his hands down. I'm like, Ryan, please stop with the hands.
Stop
like,
it.
She sees you, man.
Yeah. She definitely sees you.
And while this is happening, this is like mid-segment, and Grant, who I'm sitting next to at the time, is literally like looking over at me like, what are you doing? Like mid-segment. Yeah. Like he's just like looking at me like, put your hands down.
Like, please stop shooting guns at her.
I know. And it's actually funny that this came up because last week I'm walking in my building's elevator and you know who's in there? That same girl. She lives in my apartment complex.
Come on.
Yes. I literally called Grant immediately and was like, you will not believe who I just saw. It is that girl who I saw at Rudy's Golf.
That's incredible.
Have you been able to say hi to her just with using regular gestures?
In the elevator, he just went pew, 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 pew.
Yeah, yeah.
What floor? Seven? Pew, 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 pew. Seven guns for you.
Well, it's actually funny enough. I live on the seventh floor. But regardless of the point there, yes, I saw her and it was, again, very awkward with her boyfriend again. I'm sure he probably doesn't remember.
I was going to say, I'm sure he loves you.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, there's that.
I'm going to put that number two.
Okay, that's two.
Behind
Dara's airplane hug, number three.
Yeah. But still,
I love you guys. Four?
So Adam Amin did go bro hug, Fox play-by-play man, and you definitely went two arms for like a hug.
Yes, this
just
happened.
Like teddy bear hug.
You're like, with arms wide open.
Full embrace. We've known each other for years. I was my brother.
What was your logic on that?
I don't remember. I think mentally, yes. I thought that he was going in for the full embrace. Like, I thought it was more than just the normal, you know, dap up and then... You know, shoulder bump, bro hug. I thought it was more than that. I thought it was.
So
was like,
did you?
This is really nice.
So you're like a linebacker. Did you read the play going wide? Like, in other words, the hand starts in the middle and starts to go out. Like, you go, he's extending. This is full bootleg. Like, this is full arm extension to for a hug around. Whereas that's, he probably was going in the stopping here.
Yeah, that's what I read, and I misread the play.
So how much of this do you think? Because this happens sometimes, and like if this medium is done correctly, in a sense. We are in a, you know, in a relationship, have a rapport with our listeners, right? How much of it is you watch Adam Amin, that's your guy, you know, Adam Amin's on TV, and you're like, oh, that's my guy, Adam Amin. So like, yeah, it's the first time he's ever meeting you, but you're like, Adam Amin, it's been a week. I saw you last week on TV, and you just gave him a hug. How much of it is that?
Oh, that's tough to say. Because, I mean, I love Adam. He's awesome at what he does.
Yeah.
He doesn't rank it. My top, unfortunately. So I don't know if it was that much of that.
But he's not. I mean, you like him.
Yeah, sure.
He's absolutely. Not that far down your big board.
No, he's not that far down. But you know, he's
where
on
is
the top.
He? Is Ooh. He podium?
Oh man. Oh no, not podium.
Okay.
Unfortunately, not podium.
Ian Eagle or Adam Amin?
Ian Eagle.
One.
Let's go, Kevin Burkhardt or Adam Amin.
Ooh, I'll go Berkey.
Two.
Really?
Yeah, wow. Berkey. Big Berkey fan.
Harlan or Adam Amin?
Oh, Harlan's at the top.
That's three.
Harlan's gold.
Harlan's
Joe Davis or Adam Amin?
Definitely Joe Davis, yeah.
That's so you four. Hate Adam Amin.
Why do you hate him? Mike Tirico or Adam Amin?
Oh, now that's... Sorry, it's Tirico, for sure.
All right, so Adam Amin, you're just...
He's not on the podium,
Spiro Dedis. Does he make the top 20? Spiro Dedis.
No, Adam Amin over Spiro Dedis.
Okay, Kevin Kugler.
Adam Amin.
Okay. You got some affection.
Yeah.
All right, so he basically is the Commanders. When he plays the Panthers, he's going to whoop up on them. But if he has to deal with Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, it might get sideways.
Yeah, it's there's just no competing with Kevin Harlan, Ian Eagle, and Joe Davis.
Like, it's not a crime
ridiculous.
To be behind them.
No,
in the power
not room. A crime at all.
And you slid him down the board even further because he tried to hug you, man-hug you, and you got embarrassed because you wanted the real hug.
That might have raised him up.
Honestly. I bet you Kevin Harlan would give you a real hug.
I'd be steamed up.
Size for Kevin Harlan.
And then just like talked in your ear the whole time what was happening. Play by played it. You know what I mean? Going in for the bear hug. This is a great hug. We're embracing. And you're like, oh my God.
That'd be the greatest moment of my life.
That'd be so good.
Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. Austin Eckler's joining the show in 20 minutes. We got to see what he thinks has gone wrong for this offense over the last two games against pretty terrific defensive competition. You're listening to Grant and Danny. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We're taking you up to 6:30. Austin Eckler joins the show coming up at the top of the hour at 5 o'clock. Always provides our trusted insight, and that is our Trusted Insight segment, sponsored by IT Cadre. Looking forward to talking with him about two straight losses and getting right against the Dallas Cowboys. Joe Beninati will be on the show at 6 this evening. We got to talk to him about Alex Ovechkin being on one of the hottest goal-scoring stretches of his entire career to start his age 39 season, and then more importantly, timely and relevant news of his injury last night. How serious is it? When will Ovi be back? We'll see if Joe B. has any info for us coming up in about an hour and 10 minutes, right at 6 o'clock on Grant and Danny. But Sunday, it's the Commanders and the Cowboys, and I just have a hard time envisioning a scenario where Dallas finds a way to win this game. They don't really have a whole lot redeemable about their operation right now. CeeDee Lamb is the one player on offense that really worries you. They might be able to get a play or two drawn up for Turpin, who's a gadget guy. But otherwise, their offense isn't exotic. They can't run the ball. They've got backup quarterbacks who are turnover prone. And defensively, they're struggling. You saw last night they gave up 34 points and 400 yards to the Texans.
Yeah, banged up a little bit too, which is not coming at a great time for them. So to me, this is there are good moments for them. And, you know, whether it's last night rushing out through for a bunch of yards, but they're still like that, hey, that's a good first down play. They're moving the football. They ended up with a pretty good yardage total. I think midway through the first half, they had 150 yards, which is more than they had the week before. There's still some things, but it's that self-sabotage play. That explosive negative play, right? That like catastrophic, can't recover from, what are we even doing here type thing. That's what's really destroyed them over these last couple of weeks, or several weeks now. Really, even with Dak Prescott, they were still finding those unbelievable, galling, gut punch, self-sabotage, horrendous moments. If you don't have that, all of a sudden you've just got a regular, mediocre to bad team. That's what scares me, right? If that crazy, oh my God, what are you doing play doesn't happen, last night, they're trailing, you know, whatever, 17-10 at one point, that guy fumbled, then the next guy fumbled on the same play for a touchdown. You don't do that, or it doesn't break the way of the opposing team, in this case Washington. You're in a little bit of a fight now. That's what makes me nervous.
There's a couple of outcomes for me that are going to lead to takeaways as far as the game on Sunday at home goes. And I know that there's gray area in the middle and nuance, so maybe it ends up that the game lands somewhere in there. But if you win going away, to me, you've gotten right. And it's going to be a tell as to, you're better than the bad teams. You're closer to the really good teams, by the way, because you blow out the bad teams and you lose tight to the good teams for the most part. I know the Eagles game got lopsided, but they had a chance to take a lead in the fourth quarter with a field goal they didn't attempt, 10 minutes to go or whatever. If they don't play really well offensively against Dallas, if it looks like Pittsburgh and Philly again against the Cowboys, and they have 17 points or, you know, two or three sustained drives, and Tressway punts five more times, and it's three and outs, and they turn the ball over once or twice, then it is going to feel like there's more to this than just that they were playing elite defenses. And then we can have, I guess, even a more detailed conversation on what's the problem. Is it a regression? Kingsbury's second half, which is a track record that he's had. Is it the rib? Have they been solved in the sense that, you know, Daniels was playing in a way as a rookie? Nobody really knew how he was going to play, and now they've watched the film and they've They figured out an antidote. I mean, those are going to be questions that are on the table if you don't handle the Cowboys offensively. I'm not talking about beating them. I'm talking about moving the football, getting back to sustaining drives, getting back to looking like you are a top 10 offense in the NFL, which against this Cowboys defense, you should absolutely be.
I mean, they've been horrendous. They've allowed, I think, coming into last night, it was the second most points in the NFL. I don't know where they stand as of this morning or this afternoon.
They've given up almost 70 points in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And they had a couple more injuries during the game last night. And they're playing on six, you know, on a 6 day week, on a short week with travel.
Good offenses, bad offenses. Everyone in between has done what they wanted against this Dallas defense, who's basically all but quit at this stage. So that needs to happen again.
Let's go to Dominic in Ohio on Grant and Danny. What's up, Dom?
Hey, boys. Thanks, as always, for taking the call.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, so I think a lot of what getting back to what it's going to look like is going to have to do with who's on the injury report, because not only is JD5 obviously tender. I mean, he's favoring the ribs. But he also had, one-armed Wiley. He had Darius on the left side for a little while. I mean, so him having the big dogs back up front is going to put him back in that comfort zone. And I think we're going to see a little bit more of what we have come to expect in those first 5 weeks. I also wanted to take this quick opportunity to say, I think Obi's probably going to break this record against his favorite plaything, the Columbus Blue Jackets, sometime around April 12th. I think there's a home and home. So I'll cordially invite you guys to come down and not do any of the things Christian has done for you guys in the past in New Orleans. But I will happily be here to consume beverages with you and watch that game.
Yeah, we expect a party bus to pick us up at the airport. And you're
with flutes of champagne, sir.
Right, you're in a tux, and we need our champagne like you did last time. That's very, very funny.
Good bit.
Thank you for the call. If he has a chance to break the record in Columbus, I will be there. I can promise you that right now. And we can go to the game together if we want to go get some tickets. I just hope he's playing this season and breaking the record this season, because it was not a good look as he got helped off the ice last night and brought back to the dressing room. The Capitals, the update they've provided, if you're just jumping in your car today, is all they're saying is week to week. That makes me cautiously optimistic that they didn't come out and say they're fearing that his season is over, but it is hockey. So they could just be telling you week to week, knowing that something ominous has actually happened, because they're not truthful with injuries in that sport.
Yeah, it's not a forthcoming type culture.
Austin Eckler joins the show next. Let's talk to him about the upcoming Cowboys game, his first opportunity to join into this Commanders-Cowboys rivalry. You're listening to Grant and Danny.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.